It's the biggest story in sports. Lionel Messi is actually, officially, and tearfully leaving Barcelona and heading to Paris. Will his time at PSG impact plans of a potential future in Major League Soccer? Speaking of signings, Chelsea on the verge of landing another attacking superstar. Will Romelu Lukaku's arrival at Stamford Bridge mean boom or bust for Christian Pulisic and his fellow Blues? Plus, Mexico takes bronze in and against Japan. Was El Tri's Olympic outfit better than its Gold Cup team? We'll debate that and much more starting now on Football Americas.
Please welcome to the pitch the New York Red Bulls and your Chicago Fire. Por favor, denle la bienvenida al terreno de juego al New York Red Bulls and tu Chicago Fire.
Hercules Gomez, Sebi Salazar with you for another edition of Football Americas here on ESPN Plus. Herc, how about our girl Elena right there of the Chicago Fire Kids Club, dude? Her Spanish is better than mine. She's taller than me. Is she coming for my job?
You better watch out. You know it.
All right, well, you got to deal with me through at least another edition of the show. We will be talking about plenty here on Football Americas. Mexican Olympic team, of course, winning bronze at the Olympics in Japan over the weekend. Plenty of time to celebrate that. Plus, through gritted teeth, Herc, we'll have to do Major League Soccer's good, bad, and ugly this week because Inter Miami have somehow found themselves into the good category. I know that's going to cost you a lot. Of course, you can listen to the edition of today's show on podcast, or you can tell your friends if they don't have ESPN Plus to download the podcast right there in your ESPN FC feed. All right, Herc, I don't think there's anywhere else we can start the show today than with the biggest news in the whole freaking world. Lionel Messi is leaving Barcelona and leaving to join PSG on a reported two-year deal, Herc. This despite the fact that Messi agreed to a 50% wage cut. Still not enough for him to be registered with La Liga. Of course, we know all about their strict salary limitations. These images from Sunday, Messi's farewell press conference at Barcelona, where he ended a 20-year relationship with the club. Obviously, tons of emotions there, Herc. Let's attack this from an emotional standpoint first, because I think there are kind of two camps when it comes down to this thing. Forget if you're a Barcelona fan. Mm-hmm. Forget if you're a PSG fan, right? You're just a lover of the game. Did you want to see Messi play out the entirety of his career at Barcelona because you're a romantic, or is there some part of you that's excited to see Messi try out his skills in a league other than La Liga?
There's a huge part of me that's excited to see Messi mm-hmm. elsewhere that's not Barcelona, especially this version of Barcelona, almost a I will hold you back Messi version of Barcelona. I want to see Messi compete at the highest levels. I want to see Messi playing Champions League finals. I want to see Messi playing World Cup finals. I don't want to see him struggling
ending
with this
Barcelona.
That's not world football today. Very rarely do you see the Maldinis, or in this case, what would have been a Messi with, what is he, 21 mm-hmm. years in the same club, finish out their career where they started. Very romantic story. Signed his first contract on a napkin. That type of deal was there from his infancy. Very rarely do you see these things play out this way. By the way it played out, Hollywood-esque. Are you telling me that he was forced out, wanted to take a 50% pay cut with his club to finish it out, and he still couldn't stay there? I want to see it. I want to see it because we see it in other sports, these forming of super teams, right? We see it in basketball all the time, the big three. We've seen it now in, you know, American football, in the NFL. You know, Tom Brady goes to Tampa and who he brings with him. We've seen it all the time. It's happening. And we're starting to see it in soccer. We're starting to see it with City. We're starting to see it with PSG. Well, this is another layer to that. Next year, Champions League is going to be insane. You have what's going on in PSG. You have what's going on in City and their signings. And by the way, the Champions League winners, they just got Lukaku. So, yeah, right. It's going to be massive.
Nah, forget about you and what you want. What about what Lionel Messi wants, dude? How can you be happy about going to see him at PSG? If this was last summer and he wanted out of Barcelona, I might agree with you. But the fact that he, like, watching Lionel Messi cry at a podium that he doesn't want to leave, I don't want any part of this. Like, I do feel PSG is going to be appointment viewing from here on out. But I'm going to feel cringe every time that I see him in a PSG shirt, knowing that at the end of the day, he really didn't want to be there. What about, though, Herc, from an MLS perspective? The deal that he's signing with PSG is 2 years, plus a third-year option, right? So that would keep him in Europe until he was 37. Do you think it makes this move makes it more or less likely that we'll eventually see him in Major League Soccer?
More, because Barcelona probably would have been contingent on him playing out his career there, being an ambassador. Who knows what would happen next? Now PSG, it's 2 years with an option. He may not even finish those 2 years. We could see him in Major League Soccer rather sooner than later.
Right.
And also, Seb, we've seen when there's water, you know, running, when there's fire or there's smoke, there's fire type of deals going on. We've already seen the Athletic come out, and they've said that there's talks of Lionel Messi coming to Major League Soccer. His dad, Jorge Messi, was actually in Las Vegas where Don Garber was, where Mayor Carolyn Goodman was, talking about, who knows what, a rumored Inter Miami or Las Vegas potential franchise in Las Vegas for Major League Soccer with Messi involved in some sort of ownership clause. It just makes sense. If David Beckham was a parting of the waters, a watershed moment, Messi would blow that away. Lionel Messi isn't one of the most famous people in the world. He's the best footballer to ever play the game. Don't let any of these boomers make you feel inadequate about saying this. Lionel Messi can do things that no other footballer has ever done on earth. He will be a moment that transcends Major League Soccer. And quite frankly, we talk about these evaluations for Major League Soccer clubs. Imagine the moment Messi signs on that dotted line.
I think it's less likely. I think it's less likely just because I almost feel like at some point, and maybe this is my romanticism with the whole Barcelona thing, I feel like now, and he said, this is what I said. He said it in the press conference. He's going to come back to Barcelona. I feel like the story there is not done. If he's got to go back to Barcelona.
He never said what capacity.
Okay, fair enough. But if he does go back to Barcelona, that pushes his timetable even further. And obviously, Lionel Messi is a player who, if at 37, 47, he could come to MLS and be productive. But we got to ask, will he actually want to come to MLS at 37?
He's already said it. He's already said it.
37, Herb.
Hold on.
37.
You're trying to tell me
that
he's going to come back to play
at Barcelona?
He himself has stated that Major League Soccer are in his plans. The American market is in his plans. So why are we now all of a sudden going to take him against his word? Why? Because he's a few years older, because he wants to come back to Barcelona and unrelated, we don't know what type of role. I think he'll come back in management, whether that's on the field or off the field, administrative role, however you want it, he'll be back at Barcelona in some way. But it just makes sense. Major League Soccer and Messi just makes sense. And if it happens, watch out, because I know you love these evaluations. I know you love seeing these Major League Soccer teams tout out how much they think they're worth. Wait till Messi signs.
Quick work on the reporting from The Athletic. They did say that there were meetings between Jorge Messi and Don Garber in Las Vegas. They made it sound like it was kind of either Vegas potential expansion or Miami. That's one of the reasons why we always dog Inter Miami on the show, because if they were up to speed, if they were ready, maybe they, and not PSG, would have been able to swoop in and take advantage
at least
of this Barcelona disaster.
I give them some credit
for
trying.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's keep focusing on Barcelona, because they did have their first game of the now official post-Lionel Messi era over the weekend. The Joan Gamper Trophy, their annual preseason affair, took on Juventus. A 3-0 win for Barcelona. Sergiño Dest got the start. Herky played, 62 minutes, replaced by Emerson. Let's focus on Sergiño Dest's on-field role and how it may be impacted by this Messi departure. Does Messi leaving this team mean that we'll see a more offensive or defensive Sergiño Dest?
That's a great question.
Season?
I thought about this, right? Because in Barcelona's best system, best version last year, we saw a three center-back system with Sergiño Dest as a wing-back. And Lionel Messi playing in that free role almost carried over the right-hand side, combining a lot with what ended up being Sergiño Dest. So, yeah, a lot of offense there. But now we're going to see, a four-man back line like we saw in this game. It'll probably be Alba on one end and Sergiño Dest on the other. If he can keep Emerson at bay or Sergi Roberto in a pinch, you think that would be his position? But I don't know. It's a lot different when defenders are occupied by a Lionel Messi. Then I say this all due respect to Antoine Griezmann. When it's Griezmann or maybe a nine, and we don't know who would play in that nine role, whether it's Barthright or whether it be a Memphis-type player there, it's a lot different when you've got the best player of all time on the field and he garners that attention. You can play a much more free role, even if you're a wingback. So I kind of think we're going to see a much more reserved Sergiño Dest, at least right now, unless Barca is going to do something that we don't know with Dembele and Coutinho and maybe Griezmann and Memphis, unless they're going to deploy Kun Agüero when he's healthy in some sort of manner that's going to make us think it could be ultra offensive. I don't see Sergiño Dest having that liberty.
my first thought was logically he would have to have a more advanced, a more attacking role because you're losing such firepower from losing Lionel Messi that other people are going to have to step up. But when I see him line up, and as you described, the four across the back, they went 4-2-3-1 in this game against Juventus. I see Sergiño Dest there as the right back. And the two players that are covering that back four, by the way, which is a back four that needs a lot of help, are Busquets in this game, Busquets and Sergi Roberto. So you don't really have cover for that back four. You can't really let Dest go forward. And this worries me for Sergiño Dest because we've talked about it time and time and time again on this show.
He is
not in his best position as the right back in a back four. He's definitely much better, certainly at a level of a Barcelona, playing as a wing back in a back five. Maybe Ronald Koeman doesn't feel like he's got that freedom now that he doesn't have Lionel Messi in the lineup, though I would think not having Messi would actually open up some more options for the Dutch manager. As far as Sergiño Dest's dress, though, is concerned, Herc, we have to get into this. Okay, a Sergiño Dest edition of Drippin' or Trippin', because Sunday was like one of the biggest days in soccer history. And here's how our man Sergiño Dest dressed for Lionel Messi's farewell press conference. Herc, is it drippin' or is it trippin'?
It's definitely dripping, but let's cut my man some slack here. Obviously, these players had no idea this was going to happen, or they wouldn't show up just the way they show up to training. People think just because you're a footballer and just because these guys make millions that they show up wearing this ridiculous type of, you know, clothing, like they're on a runway or they're some sort of model. No, these guys want to go comfortable. They want to go in shorts. Look at those. Are those jorts? Like, let's not make this a fashion, you know, a statement here. He's tripping because I don't know what he's doing. Is it homage? Is it like, is he trying to pay respects to the GOAT?
You
know, like,
that's what Michael Jordan out there? I was going to give him dripping because, so you can't, it looks like a replica 1990s Bulls uniform, right? Right down to like the high cut shorts. It's actually not, it says something else, but it's not number 23 like Jordan, it's number not. 20. But I did think it was kind of like an under the table GOAT reference shouting out Lionel Messi. So I'm going to give him, you say tripping, man. I'm going to give him dripping because I think it was meta. I think he was doing some stuff on levels there, Sergiño Dest.
It was what?
It was meta. It was meta. You didn't get it, but other people got it. It was a shout out to the GOAT, to the greatest of all time. All right, so we won't see Messi. We won't see the real greatest of all time in the La Liga lid lifter on Sunday for Barcelona against Real Sociedad. We will probably see Sergiño Dest again, that match on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and of course on ESPN. All right, let's change gears. From Spain, we go to England. Community Shield over the weekend. Herc featuring the Premier League champs, Manchester City against the FA Cup champs, Leicester City. Leicester City, you're 1-0 winners in this game. Zach Steffen got the starting goal for City. Herc, he had a huge, monstrous, incredible save on Jamie Vardy in the first half, but he was beaten in the 89th minute on a penalty. He actually came really close to saving the penalty as well. I guess the question here, Herc, when you talk about Steffen at Manchester City, is a great performance, but when is his next performance going to be? Herc, are you cool with another season at number two for the U.S. number one? This amid plenty of rumors of a potential loan to another Premier League team where he might have a shot at the number one job.
All right, so in boxing, in UFC, MMA, ring rust is a real thing. If you're not active, if you're not fighting, it's going to affect you for when you do fight. This is true as well in football, but not so much in the goalkeeper position for me. And Zach Steffen, you saw the saves he made. He was massive. The one where he's coming across his body where Jamie Vardy hits it back the same direction the keeper is coming from. Such a difficult save. The reaction time, be able to get that foot off and deflect, then off the post, and then the second one. Brilliant save. Especially when you have Ethan Horvat and his performance in the Nations League final, CONCACAF Nations League final, and Matt Turner breathing down your neck. You perform this way. I don't have a problem with him being the number two because of where he's at, because of who he's learning from, because of the position. And by the way, I welcome the competition at the goalkeeper position. In the U.S. men's national team history, they've been at their best when it's been competitive. I think only one era, the Tim Howard era, has it not been competitive at the goalkeeper position. So I don't have a problem with competition. I don't have a problem with him not being the number one starter because I think he's going to get quality reps where he's at. And he's shown it. I mean, he was on vacation for how long? Preseason game, about to start, and you play and you have a lights out performance like that. Almost got the save in that penalty. I have no issue with this. I know many do. I also welcome the competition. I think the program's better for it.
So the next World Cup qualifier for the U.S. is September 2nd, Herc. We know what games are Zach Steffen's, right? We know it's FA Cup. We know it's League Cup. There are no FA Cup games before September 2nd. Caribbean there Cup. Are no League Cup games before September 2nd. So there's not really an obvious opportunity for Zach Steffen to play. Are you telling me you wouldn't be even a little bit nervous if that September 2nd World Cup qualifier comes and he's played literally this one game in what? 3 months?
Yeah, not for the keeper position. Any other position, I think I'd be a little more nervous, a lot more nervous. But the keeper position, not really. I think he's getting quality reps. I think he's sharpening the iron with quality people. I honestly think it's a very good program, a very good coach for him to learn from. I don't have an issue with this. Now, if it ended up being his whole career, this was the situation, yeah, okay, maybe. But no, I'm fine with this right now.
Josh Sargent, Herc. He didn't play in the German Cup. Why? Well, that's the interesting part. A deal was in place for Sargent to move to Norwich City. It has since become official. He'll be moving to the Premier League on a 4-year deal. Now, our Derek Ray reported that there was some unhappiness at Werder Bremen over Sargent's decision not to play this weekend with the deal in its final stages. The Werder Bremen sporting director said, quote, "There was big disappointment as we had all been counting on Josh." Herc, who's in the wrong here? Josh Sargent or Werder Bremen?
Why is Josh Sargent taking so much? What was the transfer fee, by the way? What was it?
$13 million?
$13 million. When a player is about to be transferred, the club that's going to do the selling usually tells this player, "You're not playing. We want to put you in a bow. We want to put you in a box. We want to send you. We want to put you in whatever we can to protect you so you're not injured so we can finalize this out and get our money." Could you imagine he plays this game and I don't know. God forbid, tears his ACL. There goes the transfer because they wanted to use him in this cup game. Is this seriously where we want to go with Josh Sargent? Is he really taking the brunt of the heat right now because he didn't want to play in a game with a team that he was no longer going to be a part of and risk injury for a future transfer to the Premier League? Is this really what he's getting heat about? I can't believe the team would publicly come out and say this. Take your money. He owes you nothing. You know, in fact, what he owes you, it's that check right there that you're taking. It's those $13 million. Take that some gratitude. Don't say, "Hey, he should be happy with the opportunity we gave him. He owes us what?" No, he owes you nothing.
I'm surprised Werder Bremen left this decision in Josh Sargent's hands because it kind of feels like they did. They're saying, "Hey, he came to us, said he wouldn't be able to give us a performance." Wouldn't they want to protect themselves, as you say, from potentially losing out a huge deal? Again, it just went official today, the deal, so we know it wasn't done over the weekend when he would have been playing in this German Cup game. Derek Ray, who's the one that reported this and kind of translated it from German reporting, points out that the German Cup is very important to clubs like Werder Bremen, but surely it's not more important than something like 10 million euros, which could help you rebuild your team and get back into the Bundesliga. Let me ask you this real quick, because we haven't really talked about Norwich as the landing spot. You like it? It's a Premier League move for Josh Sargent.
Great league, right? But they're probably candidates to be relegated as well. And in the remarks that I've seen about Josh Sargent joining Norwich, they mentioned him playing on the wing, which is not where I want to see Josh Sargent. I want to see him centrally. He's 20 years old. I think he's grown so much in Germany tactically. But the next level is consistently playing as that nine, consistently scoring goals. And if you could do that at the Premier League level, trust me, you're going to have a place in Greg Berhalter's system. But if you're out wide, if you're getting pushed, if you're in a team that's just fine to stay afloat, if you're in a team with not a very good tactical brand, what good is that going to do Josh Sargent? So a lot of unknowns with Josh Sargent and his Premier League move. But I love that it's the Premier League, and I love that it's cream of the crop right now. And he's going to test himself.
I know what you're saying about Norwich. I kind of like how they play. I think you might be pleasantly surprised of what Josh Sargent can do in that attack if it does get going in the Premier League. Speaking of number nines moving to the Premier League, Romelu Lukaku set for a move from Inter Milan to Chelsea. This leads us to the latest edition, Herc, of a segment I know you love here on the show. But what does it mean for Christian Pulisic? So, Herc, what does this mean? Is it a good thing or a bad thing for the young American that Chelsea is adding Lukaku?
Can it be a little bit of both? Well, let me tell you why.
Why would it be a bad thing? I don't see any reason why.
No. Who's been playing that number nine position? You've had Timo Werner and Kai Havertz. So if they're not playing that number nine position, because it's obviously going to be Lukaku, well, where do they go? Those two interior positions, that double 10 position that they like to deploy, those interior players underneath that nine, and that could be easily Timo Werner and Kai Havertz. You know who's in that rotation? Ziyech. You know who else was in that rotation? Mason Mount. You know who else? Christian Pulisic. Now, in the Crack podcast that DeMarcus Beasley and my buddy Guchan Wayu do, he was there, and he was talking about how their last game, preseason game against Arsenal, they actually played him as a wingback. Now, a little bit of that is circumstantial because they wanted to get as many of their first-choice players onto the field as possible. But if you're pushing a guy who's wearing the number 10 jersey automatically out as a wingback, what do you think is going to happen when you put Lukaku into that equation and then you have to drop Kai Havertz, who, by the way, very good player. Timo Werner, who you can say this guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but creates things. Every time he's on the field, things seem to happen. Well, Mason Mount, he's going to be there. Well, what about Ziyech? I mean, he's been in and out. What about Christian? It just gets crowded. And sooner rather than later, this is the deal for Christian Pulisic. He's just going to have to keep proving himself, but you're adding more to the equation. But here's the good thing. Now, what he does so well is transition. What he does so well is being a dynamic player. Lukaku led Serie A in goals scored and assists. And the way that Inter played, the way they exploded, that dynamic transition game when they had the ball with Lautaro Martinez, that could easily Christian Pulisic, could give you Mason Mount, but he could benefit from that, how fast they can break. So yes, I also like this, but it does get more crowded.
All right, fair enough. So I believe this is worse for Timo Werner than it is for Christian Pulisic. I think when you see Lukaku coming in at that number nine, I don't see Werner sticking around. And we know Chelsea's the club that no matter how much money they put into you, they will cut ties quick. If you take Timo Werner out of that team, I think that opens up some options and some more playing time for Christian Pulisic. The other reason I would say it's good, Herc, is stats matter, right? Like, he's going to get a lot more assists serving it into a guy like Lukaku. I think this is perfect for him. The other question I would have is, has Christian Pulisic ever played with a number nine of this quality? That's got to boost his game. Even going back to the Dortmund days, he's never had a player like of Lukaku's level. Certainly not this Lukaku coming back from Inter Milan.
I don't have to go back and look at the nines he's played with, but this version of Lukaku is one of the best nines in the world, so I'm not going to argue with you there. Timo Werner still has to be sold if that's what realistic is going to happen. And Christian Pulisic still has to get on the field. That's been an issue with Thomas Tuchel. Thomas Tuchel seems to really like Timo Werner and what he provides. He seems to feel he can leave Christian Pulisic out and it's okay and nothing will happen. That is my worry for him. But listen, anytime you introduce a quality player like Lukaku into the equation, everybody's better for it.
Big news for Christian Pulisic off the pitch, Herc. After a long endorsement relationship with Nike, he is switching brands, signing a long-term deal with Puma. Good move, Herc?
I don't know, but it's a game changer. This is the face of U.S. soccer, and U.S. soccer was Nike, and now he's going to Puma? I mean, Landon Donovan was synonymous with the Vapors, and when I was growing up, American kids wanted to wear Nikes because of Landon Donovan. Now Christian Pulisic, wow, taking that away. He's going to Puma.
It's great for Puma. I'll tell you who it's not great for. Nike. They're missing a big one. They're missing a big star letting them get away.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The second time in the last three Olympic tournaments on the men's side, Mexico are on the podium. They'll settle for bronze this time after beating Japan 3-1 on Friday morning. Sebastian Córdoba, Alexis Vega, Johan Vázquez, your goal scorers from Mexico in the victory over the hosts. It's obviously a great performance, Herc, and in the shadow of Mexico's Gold Cup final defeat to the U.S., it has raised the question, did Mexico actually send the better team to Tokyo and not the Gold Cup? What do you think?
I can't believe this is really a debate.
Why? You think it's obvious that it's the Gold Cup or obvious that it's the Olympics?
It's obvious it's the Gold Cup team. I want to ask you a question, Sebastian. Be as impartial as you can be. Mm-hmm. Out of this Olympic squad, how many under Tata Martino are realistic starters?
So this is kind of like Gold Cup with the U.S. to me. Pre-tournament, a much smaller number than post-tournament.
One.
I think post-tournament, there's quite a few players that could be very valuable
to
a Mexico starting 11.
You asked who sent the strongest team. So going into the tournament without knowing the outcome. Okay. So one, who is that player? Memo Ochoa, right? The other two reinforcement, yeah. Luis Romo, I believe he's got like 10 caps with the national team, and Henry Martin wasn't exactly lining up, you know, the scoreboard for the Mexican national team, or else Rogelio Funes Mori wouldn't be in the picture. So it's Memo Ochoa. The rest of these players are playing in a U23 with three overage players tournament. A tournament that's not sanctioned by FIFA, so these clubs don't let their players who could potentially play in this tournament go. So it's not exactly the best representation of what each country's level could be. Great accomplishment. It's an Olympic gold medal. Or sorry, Olympic bronze medal. And especially for Mexico, because you know how many medals Mexico has or had this Olympics? Four total. Four bronze medals total. Okay? So it's a good achievement for them, a great achievement, especially for these players. But let's not go selling people this dream or this false sense of reality that this team is better than the Gold Cup team. Because if you look at the front three, okay, that were so dynamic, so good, doesn't matter who you include, whether it's Linus, whether it's Antuna, Alexis Vega, Henry Martin, not going to play over Rogelio Funes Mori, not going to play over Tecatito. Like, there's so many different places we can go with this, whereas just man per man before the tournament even started. You can say what you want about the stock being up now, but that doesn't matter because it's who you sent and why you sent them. So no, the Gold Cup team is the better team.
They may not be better on paper, but the Mexican team at the Olympics definitely played better than the team at the Gold Cup.
Against the 23 teams.
And definitely, okay, fair enough. If you want to bring up the level of competition, do you know who plays in the Gold Cup?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I mean, don't be ridiculous.
And the A-team struggled with that.
The difference between
the best
U23 teams in the world and some of the cannon fodder that is in the group phase at a Gold Cup is not that much. I got to tell you something. The Mexican team in the Olympics did not look like a Mexican team because they were finishing. They scored 17 goals, Herc, in six games.
Mexico is a world power in underage tournaments. I don't know. I agree with you.
Then let me finish for once in your life.
Okay, finish.
The Gold Cup team scored 9 goals. So if we just want to go off performance, if we want to go off how they look, I don't think it's much of a debate. The Olympic team did look much better, which brings me to the guy in charge, Jimmy Lozano. Okay. And what's next for him? If there's anybody who gets momentum coming out of this tournament, aside from the players, and we'll talk about them in just a bit, it's got to be the manager. Does he have a big position coming to him next?
I hope so, because Mexico needs to refresh themselves with these young coaches. They don't give these coaches a chance. It's the same coaches, the same deck being deployed over and over and over again. It's the same ideas. You need fresh ideas, and Jimmy Lozano could be that. But look at his job.
Is he ready for Europe? Or does he need to go back to Liga MX and prove himself more?
I'm not of the school that you need to prove yourself in Liga MX to then go to Europe. If you can go to Europe. But look at his last job in Querétaro. They were last place in league play when he was let go. And I would caution also with these youth team coaches that have had success, like Jesus Ramirez, who won the first U17 World Cup with Mexico.
Big difference between U17 and Olympics.
Okay, Luis Fernando Tena, who won the gold medal in the Olympics. And you know,
I mean, had an incredible career before that. It's not like he...
Well, incredible. What do you want to go to Europe, or you want to be, you know, a coach in Liga MX? So I will say, if you can go to Europe, go to Europe. But let's just not act that it's an immediate translation of success. Potro Gutierrez, who was U17, you know, World Cup champion, also U20, I think semifinalist, U23 Olympic coach. He's in, I believe, Guatemala right now coaching. So let's a little caution in the wind here, okay? Jimmy Lozano, I hope he has a long and fruitful career. But it doesn't automatically translate to success. What I will say is, go. I hope he's one of these coaches, like these players, who should just go. Don't worry about these procesos or about fulfilling some sort of dynasty you have to do first in Mexico. Just go, because better football is over there. Just go.
Yeah, if I would love to see him in Europe. If there is a job in Mexico that seems like it, A, might fit him, and B, might be open soon, it's Pumas. I mean, he's born of their academy.
It's true.
They're very, very bad right now. And by the way, they cannot score to save their lives. So if there's something we saw from his team, it's they can absolutely play attacking football. I don't know. I could see Jimmy Lozano at Pumas. I don't know just if that would be the best thing for Jimmy Lozano.
That's it right there. Right, Pumas doesn't have the money. They don't got the cheddar.
Exactly. All right. Well, speaking of cheddar, it's going to take some cheddar to get some of these Mexican players over to Europe. But there are a lot of links between players who did well at the Olympic tournament for this Mexican team under Jaime Lozano. who may be moving Herc to the old continent. Let's start with Jorge Sanchez, defender for Club America, been linked with, among others, a Premier League move. I've seen Everton. So
yeah.
Let's do this on a scale of 1 to 10. 1, he's not ready. 10, he's totally ready. How ready is Jorge Sanchez for a move to the Premier League?
6. And I don't think it has anything to do with his physical presence, because I honestly think he's physically a very good player.
So what's he missing?
If you've seen Jorge Sanchez early on in his career leading up to what he is today, his attention to detail, that focus, that concentration. I remember doing Campeones Cup Atlanta versus America and him getting schooled down the left-hand side. He was playing as a left back. Just easy plays. He should really know what to do, not managing the profiles or perfiles, as they say. Leading players down one way should lead them down the other. Just those attention to details he's still lacking. But I actually think he's a very good player. But the Premier League is a big step. Physically, emotionally, big step, talent-wise. And also, listen, we have to, elephant in the room, who knows if he can actually get that work permit? Who knows if he's actually ready for that level? But a 6, as far as body of work, I think it's a 6.
Hey, if you think he's got problems defensively, who better to coach him up in that space than Rafa Benitez? If it is Everton, you could see that potentially making a lot of sense, and a way for Jorge Sanchez to immediately improve his game and his standing with the national team as he tries to break in as a real contributor to the senior national team. Next on our list, Uriel Antuna, player who's actually already been in Europe. Of course, we know he's on the books at Manchester City, played for Groningen in the Dutch League. Now he's with Chivas. He's been linked to PSV on a scale of 1 to 10. How ready is Antuna for a move back to Holland?
8. And I would love to see him in a league like Holland. Look, he's so vertical. He's so fast. He's so goal dangerous. He's already got senior international experience. He's got 21 games for El Tri. He scored 8 goals, and he's not a forward. This is a winger, but he's just so direct. He makes things happen. I would love to see him get tactically better and technically better in a league like the Eredivisie. I think he can make that jump. It's an 8 for me. 23 years old. He's got a wealth of experience already at the senior national team level. I think it could be the next stepping stone in his career. I really do see him thriving in a league like the Eredivisie.
Yeah, and it's a little revancha too, right? Like, he's been there before. I mentioned he was with Groningen. He had a really horrible season there. Didn't score a goal in 20 appearances for them. I think he's got more to write in his story. We've seen him kind of rebuild, re-spark his career with the Galaxy, obviously taking it to another level now with the Mexican Olympic team and some of the work that he's doing with Chivas. But this player's story started in Europe. I would like to see it get back to Europe at some point. Johan Vasquez, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. This is a player, central defender, speaking of Pumas, the one player for Pumas that's really involved in the national team picture, albeit at the Olympic level. The latest link, him to Serie A with Genoa. Herc, is this player ready for a move to a top 5 league, 1 to 10?
8. I love Johan Vasquez, man. He's 22 years old, all the tools, a very good defensive league like Serie A. I love this move for him. He's only played twice for the senior national team, but as you saw in the Gold Cup, these center backs on that national team at that senior level maybe are a step slower, maybe need a little fire to their feet, maybe need a little pressure put on them. And seeing a player like Johan Vasquez, and you could say Pumas is a bad team, and I agree with you, but last season, for as bad as they were, they only gave up 12 goals. They were the second best defensive team, and Johan Vasquez is a huge part of that. So I would love to see him test himself at the next level. I don't need him to play another season at Liga MX. At 22 years of age, I think he's ready for the next step.
If there's a position that I want to see Mexican players going to Europe, it is definitely in the center of defense. I mean, Johan Vasquez cannot get to Serie A or anywhere else in Europe quick enough from my perspective. Another player is not so young, not one of the underage players, one of the overage players, Herc, from the Olympic tournament, Luis Romo. He's 26. He's been linked with a couple La Liga clubs, Celta de Vigo, the first that I saw. 1 to 10, how ready is Romo for a move from Liga MX to La Liga?
4.
Why?
To no fault of his own.
Okay, you gotta explain it then.
All right, he's 26 years old. He's the Liga MX MVP for the team that won the league title in Cruz Azul. Makes a lot of money, and certainly they're gonna want a huge transfer fee. Do you remember the last 26-year-old that a Mexican club wanted to send to La Liga? Do you remember who that was?
Who?
Rodolfo Pizarro, and they wanted $20 million for him. That's the problem with the Mexican players in Liga MX, the clubs, the ownership groups, las directivas. When they want to sell a player, you're going to really charge $20 million to La Liga. He's 26 years old. He's an incredible talent, incredible two-way player. I rate him highly, but there's no way he's going. Not at the price tag that these Mexican clubs put in the world's market. To no fault of his own, he's a four.
I agree with you to the most part. I'm just curious as to how the pandemic will change the economic realities for some of these Mexican teams if it forces them to sell a little bit more, something we've talked about on this show. So you don't think Cruz Azul is going to be willing to sell Luis Romo? What about Club America? Are they going to be willing to part ways with Sebastián Córdoba? Because this kid had an incredible Olympic tournament. FIFA said he was one of the top five players in the tournament, and he's been linked with, among other teams, Real Betis. 1-10, Córdoba to Betis. Is he ready?
What did I say, 9 here? What did I say, sir, 9?
I got 9. I got you a 9.
I got a 9. This
you.
Guy, he led the league. You know, the league. He led the Olympic team in scoring 4 goals, not a forward. Led them in assist. A great two-way player. América has a track record of letting their players go to Europe. So they've established relationships with these top clubs around the world. Yes, he can go. He's already had caps with the senior national team. He's had a couple goals with the senior national team. He should be the next player to leave. He's 24 years of age. The time is now for Sebastián Córdoba. He's actually the one player I think is most ready, most pedigree ready. He's already done good things here in Liga MX. He's good things at the U23 level. He's already shown glimpses at the senior national team level. The next thing is a big move. Is a first team European move. I actually think this player can do very well. Even when he doesn't play well, he's getting goals and assists. He's showing up in ways that make you take notice. So yes, I think Sebastián Córdoba is ready.
I think we see the value here maybe of the Olympics as a platform to get that big move. This is a player that we've been seeing have success in Liga MX for quite some time. Now the links start to roll in. And of course, the pipeline between América and Betis, well established. Guido Rodriguez, Diego Lainez have already made that trip. So clearly the two clubs very comfortable doing business.
You're telling me he's going to take Lainez's position at Betis?
No, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. That would be horrible, horrible situation to have to choose between those two players. All right, last one on our list. We go from América to Chivas. Alexis Vega. I mean, it's probably between Córdoba and Vega, but I would actually give it to Vega as Mexico's best player at the Olympics.
Agreed.
He's been linked to Porto in Portugal. It's a different jump up, right, from Liga MX to the Portuguese league. On a scale of 1-10, how ready would Vega be for that move?
He was the best player for the Mexican national team at the Olympics, and I'm going to give him a 4.
So this is clearly a Chivas thing, then. You just don't
absolutely
think
100% a Chivas thing. You know what's going to happen? Alexis Vega is going to be offered a new contract by Chivas, which he will sign, which will pay him even more money than he makes. Chivas will put this crazy transfer fee on him, crazy price tag on him, and guess what's going to happen? He's going to end up with the Colorado Rapids City Wizards. He's going to end up in Major League Soccer. That's just what's going to happen with Alexis Vega. I've already seen into my crystal ball Alexis Vega to Major League Soccer because Chivas needs the money, because Chivas doesn't react in the world that's actually happening in the global market. That's why. So he'll end up in Major League Soccer or something like that.
Well, I think Porto would be a great fit if he can pull it off. You get Champions League football, and you obviously see the path that Mexican players have taken through Portugal to bigger and potentially better things. All right, let's move on to Liga MX. Florian Thauvin, what a debut, Herc. And by what a debut, I mean what a disaster. Made his Liga MX debut with Tigres, the World Cup winner did.
Ooh.
He didn't score.
Ooh.
He got red carded, and then he got booed at home at El Volcan in a 1-1 draw against Santos Laguna. You've had some good debuts in your day. Have you ever had a debut this bad, Herc?
No, and I've seen very few debuts that bad. Let me tell you what's going on with Tigres nowadays. They're an easy target because of all the success they've had in the last decade. Teams, players, fans, they like to take shots at Tigres, but the fan base has also bought into this. So when everybody in Mexico is watching the Mexican Olympic team play, they're also paying attention to the French national team, the French Olympic team, because they've got André-Pierre Gignac and Florian Thauvin. Now, Florian did not have a good Olympic tournament. It was a terrible Olympic tournament. In reality, not good at all. Everybody in Mexico saw this. So these players who come to Tigres are expected big things out of them, especially if you're a World Cup winner, especially if you're following in the footsteps of André-Pierre Gignac. So when you didn't produce in the Olympic tournament and you come in your very first game against a team in close proximity to you, Santos, only a few hours away, Torreón, and you have this type of showing, This is the first time I've ever seen Tigre fans really boo somebody, really boo one of their own players, especially in a debut. Not an easy moment for him, but you should have thick skin. World Cup winner, you should know what you're signing up for. Highest paid player, one of the highest paid players right now, I should say, in the league. It's almost expected.
Yeah, if there's a scale of French imports to Tigres, the good end is André Pierre Gignac. Yeah. The bad end is Andy Delort. I think this start makes you think Tavan may end up more in the Andy Delort category.
Andy Delort, who did wonders last season in Ligue 1, who had a very good season, but in his time in Mexico, struggled and struggled mightily. Yes, and that's the thing. Everybody wants their European superstar. It's not just Tigres. I mean, you remember Jeremy Menez? You know, Americas?
Yep.
Everybody
don't
wants
bring
one
up,
of those.
Don't bring up the bad signings for America. Only Tigres on this show.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We go to Major League Soccer quite the weekend. We've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Herc, the good, Inter Miami, not a typo in the rundown. A late game winner from Indiana Vasilev in the 97th as they get a 2-1 victory over Nashville on Sunday. That is now four games unbeaten for Miami. Phil Neville afterwards says, when your DPs play like that, we will challenge for the playoff. Herc, are you buying it? Inter Miami as playoff contenders?
So you're telling me if Federico Higuain, Blas Matuidi, and Rodolfo Pizarro play well, Inter is going to challenge for the playoffs. Do you know how many goals they've scored this season? Do you know, you know where they are in the pecking order for offensive teams in the Eastern Conference? They're the worst offensive team in the East. They're the second worst in the league. No, I don't buy it. By the way, sometimes you need to hit rock bottom, Sebi, to actually start performing, to actually turn a different page, turn the leaf. And this is what happened. They got trounced at home versus New England. I mean, just a shellac, and they got booed by their own home fans. And then all of a sudden, signs of life. It's good. It's great. But you're, what, 12th in the East right now? Is that where they're at, Sebi? Let's things in perspective. There's still a long ways to go.
12th in the East, Hurricane. 8 points out of the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. That, to me, sounds like a lot of ground to make up, even if we are in August. I mean, I know there's still plenty of games to go, but what I would say here is you got your DPs playing well, and you got a really good performance out of Rodolfo Pizarro in that game. That, to me, is a huge difference. We've dogged Pizarro before on this show, but if he can refine his form, then I will say Inter Miami are contenders.
Yeah, it's almost contingent on Rodolfo Pizarro, right? Because you know what you're going to get out of Higuain. If Gonzalo Higuain has opportunities in the box, more often than not, he's going to finish. And Blas Matuidi still has something in those legs. But the one who's really not shown us that level is Rodolfo Pizarro, at least this season. And he's probably been the biggest question mark for Phil Neville. So if he can change who he's been this season, maybe Inter have an outside chance. But man, nothing is won in August.
All right, if Inter Miami aren't the bad, then who is? Because they've been the bad for like 75% of our shows. Let's see, it is LAFC.
Oh, you love this.
Who lost to San Jose 2-1 over the weekend. That is now five in a row without a win for Carlos Vela, Bob Bradley, and company. Herc, do you still have faith in LAFC? Earlier in the season, we could write it off. Ah, they don't have Carlos Vela. Well, now they got Craquitos back, and things have not exactly turned around.
No, but it's not just that they haven't exactly turned around. It's how they've not exactly turned around and who they're losing to or dropping points to. You drop points to Vancouver, not a very good team. San Jose, not a very good team. You let Portland on the road, I mean, steal points from you in the 93rd minute. You let Minnesota at home in the 95th minute, Sebi, you were there, steal points from you. You know, at the Bank of California, it's the way you're losing these points. It's the way you're performing. At the beginning of the season, you could have said Carlos Vela, Diego Rossi, you know, not on the field. You could have said Brian Rodriguez, his situation. But it's one after the other. And usually, when this snowballs into this effect, something's going on. Now, do they think they're smarter than they are? We just need to move the pieces here. We just need to do that. We're sending players away. What's going on? I don't know. But something's going on in Los Angeles, and it's not the Galaxy. We're talking about LAFC, and that's surprising.
Little too much movement when it comes to this roster midseason for me to be really comfortable and say I got faith in LAFC. They moved Corey Baird. They moved Mark Anthony Kaye. Those are two I mean, certainly with Kay, a really, really big piece of kind of who they are or who they've been in the past. Maybe they're trying to get away from that.
What about the goalkeeper position?
The goalkeeper's always been an issue. Eddie Segura's out for the season now with an ACL. That doesn't exactly help them in a position of intense need in defense. Sebastian Ibiaga is a player they're probably going to bring in from New York City FC. He could maybe be a replacement for depth on that back line. But the player we really have to wait on is the player they're going to bring in on TAM money from Colombia, Cristian Arango. I mean, I can't pretend to know too much about him. He's played for Millonarios, but he's the guy, Herc. If he hits and hits quick, then I think LAFC could save this season. I think that's just a huge ask for a player coming in the middle of the summer. You rarely see those guys really catch fire right away.
Yeah, is he going to be more Diego Rossi or is he going to be more, you know, Andre Horta? We don't know, and that's a big difference for Los Angeles.
All right, let's get to the ugly. It's not LAFC. It's not Inter Miami. It is Austin. Austin hurt. So much buzz around this team. So much buzz, but so few goals. They lose 2-0 to FC Dallas over the weekend. Now 12 of 17 games in which they have played,
wow,
Austin has been shut out. What is going on with this team?
They don't have a nine. They don't have that guy you can depend on who's going to fight for, you know, goal-scoring titles in Major League Soccer. Cecilio Dominguez, he's a good false nine when he's played there. He can score a goal or two, but he's not the nine. Gallagher, he's not that nine either. Pochettino, definitely not. You need that marquee nine. Look, they done some very good things in their play, and Joshua should be proud, but you need to put the ball in the back of the net.
A team with Cecilio Dominguez as their first ever designated player struggling to score? Wow, I am truly shocked. All right, in case you missed it, Herc, hashtag play the kids has officially jumped the shark here, all right? MLS trying way too hard to be a selling league. This is from FC Cincinnati against Orlando City. We had a youngster, his name was Zadek, who scrambled out onto the field. What are we reviewing here? Is mom a hero, or does she actually deserve a call from the disciplinary committee
for a two-footed challenge
from
mom deserves all the props in the world. When your kids start walking, they run. And when they start running, it's over. You can't keep a track of these kids. More power to her. You see how she went out there? It was a clean tackle, brought him back in. No,
that was
harm,
not a
no
clean
foul.
Tackle. That was 2 feet from behind.
No. All ball. Got him. Good. Brought him back. No harm, no foul.
Exactly. No harm, no foul. Glad to see Zadek had a memorable visit to the Cincinnati-Orlando City match. All right, MLS coming up on Sunday on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, of course, streaming live on the app as well. Atlanta United against LAFC. Coverage starts 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
CONCACAF Champions League this week as well. So a great week, Herc, for Liga MX and Major League Soccer. Let's bring that into our Book It segment, see if we can't continue the recent run of us making folks lots of money in this segment. We'll pick some of these games. We got five of them total. We'll start with the Hercules Gomez Bowl, Seattle against Tigres. What you taking?
All right, Seattle with a bunch of injuries this season. I'm going to take Tigres to win with an under of 3.5 goals, which gives you plus 170. Yes, listen, Seattle, bunch of injuries. Tigres is going to take their second line, but look at the names on there. Hugo Ayala, Diego Reyes, Leo Fernandez, Javier Aquino, Luis Quiñones, Florian Tobón, Vicente López, and Charlie Gonzalez. Still a very good team. Man, Seattle's not looking good. I'm taking Tigres in this one.
Okay, so looks like we should have a Tigres win there, according to you, but maybe not the most exciting game. Although the under plus, you know, that's a pretty high under. My game, Sporting Kansas City against Leon. I went Sporting Kansas City to win here, plus 205. Herc, I just don't trust Leon. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. Leon doesn't trust Leon, so you're not crazy at all. They've been struggling. A lot of Jekyll and Hyde performance from them lately. You can't trust that team one bit.
plus Sporting Kansas City, playing well so far this season. I trust Peter Vermees. Also, that whole mid-season versus preseason thing that used to always play towards the advantage of Mexico teams now might play towards the advantage of the MLS side. New York City FC against Pumas in the League's Cup. Herc?
I'm taking the over goal scored, 1.5 goal scored at plus 115 for New York City FC. This is just for New York City, not
for
the game.
Pumas don't score, man.
Pumas don't score, and they're not very good defensively right now. Who knows if Johan Vazquez will play? And guess what? New York scores a lot. 32 goals scored in MLS play, one of the best in the league, playing at home on that small confines field, that small-sided field. I'll take City. Yeah, I'll take that. Sure.
All right, we got some MLS teams, looks like, advancing then in the League's Cup. Let's switch over to CONCACAF. Oh, no, let's finish up the League's Cup, then we'll get to CCL last. Orlando City against Santos. Is this my pick? Yeah, this is my pick. I went over 2.5, Herc. I went over 2.5. I just see goals in this one. I see lots of them.
Yeah, Almada, the way he plays with Santos and the way that Pareja plays with Orlando, it's going to be an open game. I could definitely see a lot of goals scored in this game. I don't know who's going to win. I think it's going to be like probably a 7-goal, you know, thriller, but definitely goals for sure.
All right, so those are the four Leagues Cup matches as we hit the quarterfinal round of the League Cup. Meanwhile, we're in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. First leg between Monterrey and Cruz Azul coming up. I've got this under 2.5 goals scored in this game. Herc, this has nothing to do with Rayados. It has nothing to do with Cruz Azul. It's just a first leg. In a first leg between two Mexican teams, I am always, and I mean always, going to take the under.
Well, it should have something to do with Rayados and Cruz Azul. Cruz Azul, the best defensive team last season, versus Rayados, one of the top three defensive teams of Liga MX play. So, yeah, I don't mind that bet one bit.
All right, a few more things to note before we get out of here. Congratulations to the Canadian women's national team. They won the gold medal at the Olympics over the weekend, perhaps taking that U.S. women's national team Canada rivalry up a notch. Also, we should note, since we just talked about Orlando City, we're going to have their new owner, also the new owner of Orlando Pride in the National Women's Soccer League, Mark Wilf, a sit-down interview with him on the next edition of Football Americas on Thursday. That's just 72 hours away. We will see you then right here on ESPN Plus. For Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebi Salazar. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And Herc, what you wearing?
It's my Mario Balotelli. What you wearing? Oh, is that Club de Cuervos?
Club de Cuervos.
Is that a Schmidium?
Nah, it's a small.